Wordplay. Words have been around for a long, long, long time, right? You know, I don't want to guess how long words have been around. Well, I guess words have been around as long as we've been on this earth. So what has that been, about 6,000 years, words have been around. Words are in everything. Words are in books. Words are on internet, in the internet now. You have to read signs everywhere you go that have words on them. Words are absolutely everywhere. And the thing about words, even though they can be very simple, even though words can seem very simplistic, it's important, it's imperative that we as Christians understand that words are powerful. I mean, words are really, really, really powerful. I mean, there are so many words out there that can make your day go very well, and at the same time, there's a lot of words out there that can make your day go bad. I've been in that situation, and I'm sure a lot of you have too, where you're going along and somebody says something to you that's mean and it can just mess up your day. And at the same time, a brother and sister comes along and say, hey, you know, brother, you know, I love you. My arms are around you, or you look nice. I like people say that, you know, that's just me. Or you look nice or whatever. That can make your day go well, real good, and you can get a lot of confidence behind that. Words are, like I said, everywhere. And I think as Christians, I know as Christians, if words are the way that God has described his gospel to us, then we should pay attention to it. And I'm not talking about everyday words like vegetarian. You see, I got the definition up there, vegetarian, Latin phrase, original meaning, really bad hunter. I'm not talking about that one, you know. I'm talking about a for real, I'm sorry. You know, I did that. This is so Chad, you know, something like this is so Chad. So I put this up here so when he listens to the lesson, he can say, Buck, you're not supposed to do that. But back to the regular scheduled programming here. But seriously, though, words are something that we can hold to. Words are something that, unlike a lot of things, have a definite, definitive answer to what they are. They have a definition. It's not like you're going to go, and we'll get to this in a minute, but it's not like you're going to go and look up the definition of cat and say that it's a five-legged animal. It's not like you're going to go look up the definition of a dog and say that, you know, this dog has no skin and it has two legs. You're not going to see that. You're going to see that things have definite definitions. Things are closed in. There's no wiggle room. But what's the truth about words? What have we evolved to in our society today? And it's a clever scheme. I want you to recognize that today, church. My beloved, it's a clever scheme that's going on today. People don't want words to have a definition anymore. People want words to be squishy. People want words to have any meaning that you want. If you go to somebody and say, what's the definition of this? They're changing it all the time. It used to be that a definition of a man was a man. There was no arguing about that. There was nothing to talk about. It used to be that a man is a man and a woman is a woman, but now things are different. And I know sometimes we don't really understand the impact of it, but if we accept this, if we accept that things are different, if we accept that these definitions are different, we're walking down a dangerous road. We're walking down a road that we may not be able to turn back from. And that's what I want to talk about today. I want to talk about how important are these words and what do words in the gospel do for us. Words in the gospel to Christians, they are more than just words. These words have the ability to save our souls if we follow these words the right way. People will have you now to think that words are weak, that you can believe anything that you want. I mean, if you think about it nowadays, you go to somebody and say, what's the definition of this? And we were just talking about this earlier, that they'll say the definition is whatever I think the definition is. Somebody will tell you, and I've heard this before, I've heard this at work, I've heard this amongst people that are not in the body. If you say, define this, they're like, well, it kind of depends on what you feel about it. And that's just the furthest thing from the truth that there is. Words have a definition, they have a meaning, and we ought to stick to it. Especially when it comes down to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, we can look at words out there that, you know, like I was telling you about dogs, about cats, about men, about women and all that, and that's all great, but what about justification? What about sanctification? What about faith? What about love? What about all these things? These are words that we shouldn't just let go past us and we don't really understand the definition to. We should understand what the definition of these words without a shadow of a doubt every time, because if it comes down to our salvation, we should not sit back and let the world tell us what the definition of these words are. And it's so easy to let things go by and say, oh, well, you know what? This is harmless. It's not harmless at all. Today we're going to look at two biblical words. These are the most important words that's ever been in mankind. When God speaks about something, we should listen. When God speaks about something, we should understand that it's more than just wordplay. This is something, like I said, that can save your soul. The very first word we're going to look at is love. Oh, love. That's why a lot of people sing it on songs. They get real deep in their voice and they say love, right? Well, you know, love is something that everybody has a lot of different definitions about. Isn't that right? I mean, if you think about love, out of all words that are out there, there are probably so many definitions of love that you can't even put all of them in a bucket. I mean, go look it up. One dictionary say love is this. Another dictionary say love is that. And I mean, if you try to wrap, you know, try to put all that in one place, you kind of be in a mess. And it's important that as Christians, we got to understand that love is very important. Christ kind of said something about love, and we'll get to that in a moment. So if Christ said something about love, we shouldn't use anybody else's definition except for the Maker, except for God himself. Because absolutely, if he wanted us to know something about love, Christ says there's a new commandment I give you, then we ought to know what that love is. 1 Corinthians 13:4-8. It's a familiar passage. A lot of people know it. A lot of people almost know it verbatim. It says, love is patient, love is kind, it does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud. It does not dishonor others, it is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered, it keeps no record of wrong. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails, but where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. So right here, if we just look at this, if we just look at this, 1 Corinthians 13:4-8 there, we have a definitive. We have, without a shadow of a doubt, what the definition of love is as per the Maker. God has said, this is what love is. And we have to believe this because all scriptures breathe out from God. That's what the scripture says. So if this is what the definition of love is, then this is the definition that he's going to hold us accountable to one day. But we'll get to that accountability part a little bit later on. I mean, love is everywhere in the Bible. 1 John 4:16, and so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in them. See, here's another clear, definitive definition of what love is. People will all over the place say, well, love is this and love is that, and people will give their 2 cents, but does it really matter what their 2 cents is? Does it really matter what anybody else has to say about anything that has to do with anything God has? Who are we as humans who came here because God put us here in the first place to tell him what something is? If you think about it, it is absolutely ridiculous, but we do it all the time as mankind. We'll say that love is this because I feel like love is this. And you know, the part about it is sometimes we don't technically say, well, love is this because we feel like it's this. We don't have to say a word. Again, it goes back to our actions. And our actions can dictate that what we think love is completely contrary to what the Bible is saying. Another example, Romans 12:9 says, love must be sincere. Hate what is evil, cling to what is good. Now, I know there's a lot of situations out there where we're saying, this is love. This is love. I just love this person. Oh, look at that situation. They're so loving. They're so kind. And nobody knows the definition, the biblical definition of what God has to say about love. So here's where it's going to get real. Here's where it's going to get real. We're going to compare what these scriptures have said against what the world paints as love. It'll get real pretty fast. So it says love is kind, the first thing there. Kind. Love isn't mean. It doesn't go out and do bad things. Love is kind. That's the first thing that the scripture says about love. Let's not worry about this squishy stuff that the world is saying. Let's talk about what the Bible says about it. It says that it's kind. It says that love hates evil. Let's start lining these things up. Practical application. Let's start lining up what people are saying love is versus what the scripture says. It says that love is patient. You know, love is not one of these things that is just going to do something right now. Love is patient. Love is not going to be something that's just going to send you away just because. Love is really, really patient. Let's start lining this up, church. Let's start figuring out. Let's start thinking about situations that we know that we've called love and see if it matches up to this. God is love, as a matter of fact. Well, some people have it backwards and say love is God, and then that way we kind of get ourselves in a mess. But God is love. And lastly, love clings to what is good. So it's kind of impossible to say that I love something or I love this particular item or person and it's bad. That just doesn't match up. That doesn't match up to the scriptures. All right, we're about to get real. So we got the gay flag up there, right? So, and I can't believe I'm saying this, but it's the truth. I want you to understand that these words and this word play is everywhere. Now people are telling us that we don't have real love anymore. Real love is when these two guys get together because they are going against all the pressure, all these things that are out there. That is real love. Now you pair that with what the scriptures have said. I want to give you ammunition so that when you're out there and you're talking to folks and you're trying to bring somebody to Christ and they say, what about this? You say, wait a minute. I get that you're saying that this is love, but what about this passage here in the Bible? This says something completely different. What about somebody being in an abusive relationship? The husband comes home every day and he just slaps the wife because she's breathing. He comes home and he rolls up his sleeves and he gets mad at her for whatever the case may be and he just beats her every day. Yeah, we don't talk about that a lot, but it happens. And the world is saying, well, you know what? That's love. You know, he really loves her. He really cares about her. In that state, that woman would be saying, oh, well, you know, just because, you know, I've seen it. I'm telling you, I've seen it in my military days. I've seen all of this. And the woman will sit there and say, he loves me so much. Leave him alone. You say, no. This Bible has something different to say about that. You're playing with godly words. You have no business doing that. Who gives you the right to say what love is? Now, if you want to go out there and call it that, then that's fine. But just understand that that didn't come from God. And lastly, when it comes down to our kids, we'll say that, oh, love just lets our kids just run around and do what they want, when they want, how they want. Love is just we have to love them so much and we just let them climb the walls and jump from pew to pew or come home and tell you what you're going to do or what you're not going to do. That's love. That's what the world is saying. If you pick up any book today, they're saying you don't have to discipline your kid anymore. You just talk to them and you just give them something real nice and easy to say. Well, that's fine because that's what the world says, but that's not what Proverbs 13 and 24 says at all. We'll turn there. We'll turn to Proverbs 13 and 24. I'm there, so I'll go ahead and start reading it. He who spares his rod hates his son, but he who loves him disciplines him promptly. That's what the scripture says. That's not what I say. That's what the scripture says. Now, I'm not saying go out there and pick up a bat today and go beat your kid. I'm not saying that. And I don't believe the scripture is saying that as well, but our kids need to have structure. Our kids need to have consequences for what they do. And the Bible clearly talks about that. So don't let the world dupe you into thinking that, oh, I love my kid because I just let them do whatever they want to do. Or these two guys out there loving each other or hugging on each other, that's real love. Or, you know, if this lady that's in an abusive relationship is saying, oh, he loves me to death because, you know, he's there with me and he's just frustrated with me. Don't believe that. Pick up the Bible and figure out what God has to say. That's wordplay. That's playing on these words, and it shouldn't be like that. And I'm going to tell you why it shouldn't be like that in a minute. Wordplay is there. It's everywhere. It's not just when it comes down to love. It's in another thing. Now, we're talking about love in a general sense. We're talking about love in a sense that everybody can have. We're talking about love in a sense that, you know, everybody or anybody can say they have love so they can relate to that. But what about a word that's very personal to us called faith? What about that word? Are we playing with that word as Christians? Are we making this word to be what we think it is instead of what the Bible says that it is? Because if we're doing that, we're in trouble. Faith is mentioned in the scriptures over 200 times. Faith, 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 faith. It's everywhere. You can't turn in the New Testament. Go pick up Romans, and it seems like every other word is about faith. And I'm going to ask you a question. This is a serious question. I want you to stop and think about it for a second. If you go up to somebody and you say, hey, brother, do you have faith in God? The answer every time. I don't know anybody who would say, I don't have faith in God. Everybody's going to say, I have faith in the Maker. But the question is to you that I ask myself is this wordplay or is it the real definition of faith? Because if we're doing our definition, then we could be going down a dangerous road. And again, I'm going to tell you why here in just a minute. Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. That's just scratching the surface of what faith is. Let's turn to Joshua 6. Joshua 6. We're going to start in verse 1 and go to verse 6. Joshua 6, starting in verse 1 and go to verse 6. Give you a clear-cut example of what faith is. Now Jericho was securely shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. And then the Lord said to Joshua, see, I have given Jericho into your hand, its king and the mighty man of valor. You shall march around the city, all your men of war. You shall go around the city once. This you shall do 6 days. And 7 priests shall bear 7 trumpets and rams, horns before the ark. But the 7th day you shall march around the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow the trumpets. It shall come to pass when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, that all the people shall shout out with a great shout. Then the wall of the city will fall down flat, and the people shall go up every man straight before him. The most important verse that I can see right here. Then Joshua, the son of Nun, called the priest and said to them, take up the Ark of the Covenant and let 7 priests bear 7 trumpets and rams, horns before the Ark of the Lord. That's the most important verse right there in verse 6. If you go back and read verses 1 through 6 or 5 there and you look at it, you're probably saying, if you're in that situation, what is God telling me to do? Why is God telling me to go around this city 6 times? Doesn't make any sense. I mean, God can make the walls of Jericho fall right now. He is the God that created everything. He can make this wall fall right now. Why does he need me to march around it 6 times? That's probably what he was thinking. But the scripture didn't say that. The scripture said, then Joshua, after everything that God said, there was no hesitation. At least the scripture didn't point it out. There was no hesitation. Joshua got up and did what God said. That is a clear-cut example of what faith is. When God speaks, we do. And God has spoken in this Bible about a lot of things, and we shouldn't hesitate to do them. That is faith. Faith is not our self-defined faith is, well, we do things when we want to do them. No, faith is we do things because God said to do so. Sometimes we sit back and we have an attitude, and me, myself included in this, sometimes we sit back and we just kind of don't do what we know we should be doing. Sometimes we have the mentality that, man, I'd much, much rather look at this TV show than doing anything for God. You know, want to know the sad part about it? Sometimes I've seen Christians wear like a badge about it, almost like bragging about it. Like, I'm not going to go do that. It's not going to do any good. I'm not going to go, you know, talk for these people. It's not going to do any good. That's not the faith that I read about in this Bible. If that's the faith that you think it is, then that's called wordplay. That's exactly what it is. It's wordplay. It's a classic case. There's no reason on earth that we should think that we have faith if we're standing idle. Because if we are, that is our definition of faith, not God's. So the question to all of this is, why is wordplay so bad or so detrimental when it comes down to our faith, when it comes down to our salvation, when it comes down to God? Why is wordplay so bad? Why should we be so careful about this? Why should we be in a situation that we're like, oh, well, man, I got to really pay attention to these words. Love is the first word that we looked at. Matthew 10:37 says, anyone who loves their father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves their son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. See, now it's getting real deep. See, we're hitting some real deep stuff from Christ here. He's saying, if you love your father or mother more than me, then you're not worthy of me. So if Jesus is saying that you're not worthy of me, then we ought to use Jesus' definition of what love is. Right? Here's another situation. John 13:34-35. A new commandment I give you, that you love one another, just as I have loved you. You also are able to love one another. By this all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. So here is a commandment that Jesus is giving. How can we know this commandment? How can we be sure that we're following his commandments if we're not sure of how we're using the word love in the first place? It's all a reason behind this. I mean, just think about this. It's like on Judgment Day, somebody's going to come up to us and say, Jesus is going to say, hey, do you have love for your brethren? And the whole class is going to say, yes, we have love for my brethren. And Jesus is going to say, well, it wasn't my definition that you were using, but come on in anyway. It's just not going to happen. People paint that picture. Now, right now, Jesus is right here saying, I want to teach you these things. I want to show you these things. I want to be there. I want to do everything I possibly can to understand what I'm trying to tell you. That's what he's doing right now. But once we leave here, it's going to be like this. It's going to be like a drill instructor talking to his recruit. And it's going to be a simple yes or no answer. Did you love or did you not love? Yes or no? And it's not going to be, well, I thought love was this. No. I gave you definitions. Well, I didn't know. No. I told you exactly what love was. Well, it was, no. That season is over. I've told you. He's going to stare at us and say, you knew everything that there needed to know about love. Romans 1:17 says, for in the righteousness of God is revealed from faith, the faith that is written, the just will live by faith. Well, here's this faith part. That was the second word that we're talking about. He says the just will live by faith. And if Paul is saying that we will be in a good legal standing, just think about that word just there. Just means that we're going to be in a legal, good legal standing with God. Then we want to make sure that if we're going to be in a good legal standing with God, that we use the appropriate words and the definitions that God has pointed out. We can't use faith the way we want to use it because it just doesn't work. If you're going to go to court, now, and just think about this, if you're going to go to court and you're going to be standing before a judge and the judge say, did you do this? Did you do that? Well, the judge is going to say, well, you know, it doesn't really matter, you know, as long as you thought. No, the judge is not going to say that. The judge is going to say, this is a court of law. Words have definitions. And if you don't use the definitions that everybody else uses, too bad. You're still going to jail. Justification is what's happening by our faith. And if we don't understand what faith is, then how can we be just before God? There's no way that we can go through justification if we don't have faith that God has said we're supposed to have. We cannot be in a good standing with God if we're not using the appropriate terms that God has told us to use in the appropriate manner. It is impossible. That's why it's important that we have the right words and the right definitions and we're using them the correct way, because we're going through a process to be with God. It's not like we're just going to wake up and we're just going to go stand there and be with him. There's a process that we have something to do, and that's something to do with faith. That's something to do with love. That's something to do with obey. And if we're going to go through a legal process, like Paul says, we want to make sure that every ounce of our being is confirmed that we have the right words. One of my favorite shows is the People's Court. I love it. I don't get to watch it often, but I absolutely love it. And people will march in all the time and say, well, Judge, I paid this fine. And the judge is like, really? Because, you know, she has a real, like, just snappy, you know, I forget her name. But she's like, really, you paid it? Well, what proof do you have? And I don't know what definition you're using, but it ain't working here. Pay the man. That's what she'll say. I love it when she says that. And then somebody will say, I didn't harass that lady. And she'll say, really? Well, I got 50 phone calls. You knocked on their door. I got 200 texts. I don't know what your definition of harassment is, but by my definition right here, that's harassment. Pay the lady. See, it works everywhere else, and it has to work before God too. All of this comes from God. We can't be just wishy-washy on these words. We have to know what they mean if we're going to go through this legal process with God. Not all words are made equal. If it's a word that God uses, we better know what it is and why he said we should use it. We're not talking about cats or dogs. We're not talking about feelings. We're not talking about any of those things. We're talking about being in a good standing with God. We're talking about ensuring that our souls are saved. So don't make it be too simple. Don't make it be that somebody's saying things and it's just like, oh, well, they're just talking about love and we just let it go by. We ought to make sure that the love is the love that's in here. And don't let anybody say, or don't you look in the mirror, and I'm not going to let myself look in the mirror every morning when I wake up and say, I'm a faithful servant of God, and use my definition for faithful, because that is dangerous, because one day we're going to have to stand before God. God has given us definitions. God has given us words. This is how God has explained things to us, and we ought to make sure that we know exactly what he is doing. Again, we will stand before him. 2 Peter 1 and 3, his divine power hath given us unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. He's given us everything. Every single thing that we need to make it home with him, he's given it to us. And don't you let anybody tell you that he hadn't, because he has. Everything, when it comes down to our salvation, God has given it to us. Nice, neat, in a package. And if you think about that, something so big, the power to save souls, it's amazing that he could put all of it in one book that shows what a mighty God we serve. Amen? I'm done. I'll say this. I want us to really pay attention to this. Just think about it when we leave here, when you go to your jobs, when we go home. I'll be going to the airport tonight and probably reading some crazy magazine about something. I want you to look at how the world uses definitions and how they say things are. I want you to really pay attention to it. Just the next week. Just leave here. When you're looking at a TV show, just see how people use their definitions and see how easy we can start to swallow these things. How easy it is for that stuff to infiltrate us and have us thinking that this is love and it's really not. Let's not make it too simple. Tell you what is simple, though, being saved, isn't it? God has said that all we have to do, believe, confess, repent, be baptized, and live a Christian life. That's what he says we have to do. It's written right here. That's all we have to do. If you're not a Christian, that's all you have to do. Step up and say, I want to be a follower of Jesus Christ. I want to be his disciple. And all you have to do is stand here and confess before the Lord, and he will save your soul. And if you're already a Christian and things have not been going the way that you think they should go, things have not been going the way that you want them to go according to God's will, then one of the great things about our God is that he gives us repentance. We can turn away from our sinful ways and come back to him, and he'll accept us with opening arms. Whatever your needs may be, come now as we stand together and sing.